Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
I'm like, I never heard of such
proof. You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
All right. What's up, everybody? Good afternoon. Good evening. Good afternoon. You know what? It's light outside. It's still light. Anyway, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Ron Kelly's show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the ronkellyshow.com. It's light, it's so bright, it's all up in my face, but I need for y'all to see me. So what's up, everybody? How's everyone doing? You know what time it is. It's 7 o'clock Thursdays. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's the ronkellyshow.com. Shout out to my homeboy, DJ Tiny. I hope he's listening. And I hope you can hear me, because Blog Talk Radio works when it feels like working. But not me. I'm working every Thursday afternoon, 7 p.m. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, so on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly 1. On Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. And on Twitter, it's Ron Kelly, R. Kelly Radio Show, I should say. So thank you, everybody. Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Earl Scott. Welcome. And my boy, Keith Hall, Tuesday night. It's University of the 80s, and it's University of the 80s, and it's on Fishbowl Radio Network. Check the website for a date. I mean, for the time, I should say. I believe it's 8 to 10 Eastern Time. It's my boy Keith Hall on Fishbowl Radio Network. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Got a lot going on. The show is just absolutely packed. I don't know if I'm even going to be able to get all of this stuff in. Shout out to Sharon Allen Chambers. Who is a very good friend and who convinced me actually to keep the show on blog on Facebook, because I was ready to divert it somewhere else. Thank you, Sharon, my homegirl from way back in the day. I don't want to say how far back, but, you know, just thank God we are still here. All right, Keith, thank you, brother. Love you too, man. Okay, listen, so it's the 50th anniversary. Actually, yesterday was the 50th anniversary of the death, of the murder, of the killing of the great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I got a lot going on, but I think that it's only right that we start out with that. But a little bit later on, we'll talk about, you know, well, I'm going to do a little profile on the Colorado shooter, James Holmes, because there's so much talk, you know, about in the black community, especially about single parent homes and how kids go bad because there's no daddy in the house. But this guy had everything, and he still lost it. So we'll talk about that. Also, we will. There's a study out that says a break from Facebook, and I'll talk a little bit about Facebook. There's a study out that says a break from Facebook for at least a week can take your stress level down. Oh, boy. Okay, why do black people routinely die and whites routinely live? Through confrontations with the police. Specifically, the person I'm talking about is Oscar Walters, who pointed an air rifle at the police and lived. We'll talk about that. We got a whole lot more going on right now. You know what time it is. It's 7 o'clock. It's Ron Kelly's show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. Okay, listen, I want to play this piece. I want to play a piece. And DJ Tiny, let me know if you can hear me, because I can't really tell if Blog Talk Radio is working or not. So definitely let me know if you can hear me. I'll have to pull it up on my other. I'm going to get a question in the, you know, in the intro about what made Dr. King so dangerous? What was it about Dr. King that made white people fear him? What was it? So I'll listen to this piece. I mean, actually, I saw it on Twitter. It's a bad fact. I mean, nothing is original around here. And I saw the piece on Twitter. And this is, you know, it's just a great example of the brilliance of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I hope as many of you are listening, shout out to Ronald Hicks, I hope as many of you guys are listening can hear this piece. This is a piece. It's not the whole interview. This is an interview that Dr. King did with CBS journalist Sandra Van Oker, who was very popular at the time. This is 1967. And Dr. King is doing this interview with Sandra Van Oker from CBS, doing this interview with Ebenezer Baptist Church, the legendary Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. So listen, now just check out this piece. Just listen for a minute. This is a good example of the brilliance, the absolute brilliance of Dr. King. Listen to this piece.
Why are they looking for the excuse? What is it about the Negro? I mean, every other group that came as an immigrant somehow, not easily, but somehow got around it. Is it just the fact that Negroes are black?
That's a part of it, and growing, that grows out of something else. You can't thingify anything without depersonalizing that something. If you use something as a means to an end, at that moment you make it a thing and you depersonalize it. The fact is that the Negro was a slave in this country for 244 years. That was a willful thing that was done. The Negro was brought here in chains, treated in very inhuman fashion. And this led to the thingification of the Negro. So he was not looked upon as a person. He was not looked upon as a human being with the same status and worth as other human beings. And the other thing is that human beings cannot continue to do wrong without eventually rationalizing that wrong. So slavery was justified morally, biologically, theoretically, scientifically, everything else. And it seems to me that white America must see that no other ethnic group has been a slave on American soil. That is one thing that other immigrant groups haven't had to face. The other thing is that the color became a stigma. American society made the Negro's color a stigma. And that can never be overlooked. So I think these things are absolutely necessary. The other thing is that America freed the slaves in 1863 through the Emancipation Proclamation of Abraham Lincoln, but gave the slaves no land or nothing in reality, and as a matter of fact, to get started on. At the same time, America was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that there was a willingness to give the white peasants from Europe an economic base. And yet it refused to give its black peasants from Africa, who came here involuntarily in chains and had worked free for 244 years, any kind of economic base. And so emancipation for the Negro was really freedom to hunger. It was freedom to the winds and rains of heaven. It was freedom without food to eat or land to cultivate, and therefore it was freedom and famine at the same time. And when white Americans tell the Negro to lift himself by his own bootstraps, they don't look over the legacy of slavery and segregation. I believe we ought to do all we can and seek to lift ourselves by our own bootstraps, but it's a cruel jest to say to a bootless man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. And many Negroes, by the thousands and millions, have been left bootless as a result of all of these years of oppression and as a result of a society that deliberately made his color a stigma and something worthless and degrading.
Now, that's just the brilliance, the absolute brilliance of that little piece of tape right there that I just ran. That was Dr. Martin Luther King in 1967 at the Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, being interviewed by NBC News correspondent Sandra Van Oker. Just brilliant. And see, and this is what made Dr. King so dangerous to white folks. Because not even President Obama, because white people really didn't care that Obama was president. They didn't care. You know, because even President Obama, as the leader of the free world, an African American, was not even close to being powerful as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Not even close. And see, the brilliance of Dr. Martin Luther King is what made him so dangerous. The calm brilliance of Dr. Martin Luther King is what made him so brilliant. Because, you know, white folks can live with, they'll never shoot down Reverend Al Sharpton. And not to kick his back in or anything like that, but no one will ever shoot Reverend Al Sharpton. They'll never shoot Jesse Jackson, who had a baby out of wedlock. I mean, they don't have to worry about, everybody that came behind King, all the so-called civil rights leaders who came behind the great Dr. King, they didn't have to worry about, white folks didn't have to worry about, they don't have to worry about Reverend Al Sharpton, you know, because Dr. King didn't run around with phrases, no justice, no peace. Dr. King actually was out there in the front lines, and he knew that he was going to die. He knew in his speech, the March on Washington, I may not get there with you. He knew that somebody was going to take him out, but it still didn't stop him. And at the time that Dr. King was assassinated, he was in Memphis trying to help the garbage workers, you know. And I've worked for a sanitation company, so I can thank Dr. King for the great job that I had. So it's just that one piece, and I hope you hear it. If you didn't hear it, you can go on YouTube. And you can Google, or not YouTube, you can go in a search engine, you can say Sandra VanOcker, it's VanOcker, and Dr. King. And the whole interview, Dr. King is brilliant. And it's his brilliance, his calmness, his thoughtfulness, his peacefulness is what led to his assassination. Because black people shooting each other, killing each other, and all this stuff is going on, and and all the other stuff is going on. White folks, they want black folks to be angry. Because you know what? When you're angry, you don't think right. You can't think straight when you're angry. And so they want everybody to be angry. Those folks who are not all white people, but those folks who are antithetical toward black people, they want us to be angry. They want us to be killing each other. Like Chicago, 7 shootings in a day in the same neighborhood. It's just outrageous. And they have no problem with that. But Dr. King was a different, Dr. King was generational. Dr. King was transformational. Dr. King was like nothing that white folks had ever seen before. And Dr. King had the greatest chance of galvanizing the black community in America, because no one, even the ascension to the presidency of the United States by Barack Obama, white people didn't care. They were, you know, because see what happened. Barack Obama got swept up in the politics of the presidency, and he was there for 8 years. And since President Obama, for the 8 years he was in office, there was no sustained change for black folks in this country. So President Obama really didn't, I'm not going to say he didn't do anything. He tried his best. But even the power of the presidency of Barack Obama was not as powerful as the presence of the great Dr. Martin Luther King, snatched away, murdered by, I don't want the Secret Service knocking on my door. But Dr. King, snatched away by folks unknown on the balcony of the Lorraine Motel, April 4th, 1968. All right, everybody, welcome to the program. Glad to have you here. Yeah, Facebook. There's a study. Let me look back. Okay, all right, I got about 3 minutes. There's a study out now that says that, a break from Facebook would be therapeutic to you. Yeah, and see, in Facebook, I used to laugh when people, let me start with this. Facebook, just like anything else that can be corrupted, the religion, everything, Facebook has been corrupted as well, you know. So there's a good side to Facebook and there's a bad side. The good side, you know, is people reuniting after years and years, family members finding each other, and people, you know, finding fame and fortune on Facebook. And then there's the bad side, you know. Then there's the bad side. There's people, you know, using it to cause harm to others. There's, you know, the, you know, people just being, you know, bullying, cyberbullying, and all kinds of stuff. So Facebook has been like completely corrupted. And I used to laugh at people when they put that thing. What was that thing that people used to put down to try to warn that I have rights or you can't use my image? And I just laughed at that because there's nothing you can do about that. If they don't take it from Facebook, they take it from somebody else. You don't have to worry about Facebook. It's the other people. We just heard that Delta Airlines has been hacked. Sears Roebuck has been hacked, the Sears store. So if you've been to Sears lately and you swipe your card, your information might be gone already. So there's so many different ways for people to get your information. But speaking of Facebook, a shout out to Bernard Williams and his lovely wife, Cruz, and their son. I believe his name is Zaire, who has ascended. I don't have all the information here, but has ascended to the creative directorship of a company, iSlide, I believe it is. It was featured on Shark Tank. So shout out to Bernard Williams, his wife Cruz, and their son. I believe his name is Zaire. Young man, 21 years old, I believe, very young man, and is a creative director already at that age. Yeah, but you're never gonna hear, you know, shout out to them, and I met the young man. He's a very nice kid, and, you know, and they should be proud. But shout out to Bunny McKnight. I'll catch you with you know where. And, you know, but people, you know, people are never going to put, like, you never, like, let's say if you were alien or something like that, right? If you were alien and you was looking on Facebook for the first time, let's say you're an alien. You didn't know nothing. You know nothing about America. You know nothing about nothing. You just looking at Facebook. If you look at Facebook, you would think everybody's kid was good. You know what I'm saying? If you look on Facebook, you would think that everybody's kid is good because people, you know, have become, you know, Facebook has turned everybody, well, not everybody, but Facebook has turned people into some really good speech writers. And, you know, nowadays people come with these big, you know, soliloquy about their kid. You know, notwithstanding Bernard and Cruz, but people will, you know, you're never going to hear somebody say, "Oh, my kid got a D," or you know, "I caught him in the house with some girl." You're never going to hear anybody say anything bad about their kid on Facebook. So if you could look on Facebook, you would think that all the kids were angels, because you're never going to hear or see anybody say anything bad about their kid. If it's really, really bad, you'll read about it in the daily news. But you're never going to see anyone say anything bad about their kid on Facebook. We'll get back to that. I got a whole lot more here. The show is just totally packed. I don't even know if I'm going to get to everything. I think I overdid it with my show prep today. And you know what, and I never really usually give out the phone number, but the phone number here is 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. It's the Ron Kelly Show.com.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, the Ron Kelly Show.com.
Some statistics are surprising. Some are unbelievable. And some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%. And that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
All right, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, theronkellyshow.com. 37 minutes past the hour of... I just got a few dirty text messages a few minutes ago. Yeah, 24 minutes after the past the hour of 7 o'clock, and it's still light outside. Anyway, it's Ron Kelly's show on the day after the 50th anniversary of the murder, the cold-blooded, senseless killing of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I played that piece earlier, just the brilliance of Dr. King and the inclusion. See, because folks don't, you know, they'll let you, the only thing, see, the Black Panthers, when the Black Panthers started getting violent, that's when the FBI and some of these people moved in. But if the Black Panthers weren't violent, they would let the Black Panthers go. You know, the move, I think with the move people, I'm not 100% sure what happened with the move. I didn't do any show prep on that. But the move, what happened in Philadelphia, I mean, no, they shouldn't have done it, but it was just, you know, that was more of a mistake than anything else. I'm not saying that they're justified in what they did, but that was something that just got out of hand. But they should have left those people alone in the first place. Anyway, it's okay. It's 25 minutes past the hour of the Ron Kelly Show. All right, so we know about Stephon Clark, the young man who was butchered, murdered by Sacramento City police officers. And shout out to police officers who I know that probably have unfriended me now. Don't speak to me anymore. And that's okay, because the truth is the truth. And I'm not willing to not tell the truth because I'm just going to hurt somebody's feelings. So, you know, the truth is the truth. And man, Stephon Clark was killed in the backyard of his grandmother's house for holding a cell phone. Now, his man, this happened on the 30th. White man. Police say the white man, they don't say the white man, but the police say a man opened fire on Louisville Metro police officers with an air rifle Thursday night. And in the ensuing scuffle, one officer was injured. So this is a white man who fires an air rifle, police. This is a white man. This is in Louisville, Kentucky. So a white man fires, his air rifle at police, and he didn't die. Now, according to arrest reports, officers were called to a home on East Kenton Street, wherever that is, near Southbrook Street, just after 6 p.m. on the 29th of March, after someone reported that a domestic violence assault was taking place there. Now, when the officers arrived, they spoke with the wife of 68-year-old Oscar Walters, who said her husband had attacked her with a flashlight. Now, police say they could see that she had suffered some type of serious head injury after being hit on the head several times. She had to be transported to the hospital. Now, at that point, police say three officers went to the front door of the home to try to talk to Walters. That's when Walters allegedly pointed an air rifle at the officers and opened fire. Police say the projectiles from the air rifle shattered the glass on the front door, and officers had to take cover. After firing the rifle, police say Walters came out of the home. Now, this is the black man. His behind would have been toast. After firing the rifle, police say Walters came out of the home, and they tried to take him into custody, but Walters refused to give up his hands. Refused to put up his hands, in other words. And after a brief struggle, officers were eventually able to subdue him, but not before one of the police officers suffered a fractured right hand. They broke their hand trying to take this man into custody. A white man who fired at them with an air rifle. But Tamir Rice had an air rifle too. Tamir Rice, a 12-year-old in Cleveland, had an air rifle too. And they blew him up as soon as they got there. The officer was taken to Jewish hospital, and he needs surgery to fix his hand. Meanwhile, Walters was arrested and charged with 3 counts of first-degree wanton endangerment of a police officer, third-degree assault of a police officer, and resisting arrest. He is also charged with second-degree assault in connection with the alleged attack on his wife. He is currently being held in Louisville Metro Corrections. But he lived. Now, this man, you know, they came through his door and they shot at him. See, this is for the people who it's not about race. This is for the people who say that. They came through this man's door. He shot an air rifle. Now, they didn't know it was an air rifle, but they knew that Tamir Rice had a gun, which turned out to be an air rifle as well, a BB gun. But Tamir Rice was 12 years old. He was murdered by Cleveland police officers who were not held responsible, who did not follow procedure, because you do not ride up on an active shooter. You don't ride. You take a position and you take cover. You don't ride up on an active shooter. There's any police officers out there who are listening to the program, they can challenge me if they want. Shout out to Bernard Williams. I was just talking about you. Well, not really, but you know, about your son. So this man who was white. And see, I'm not trying to stir up stuff. You know, people are around, you're always trying to stir it. I'm not trying to stir up nothing. You know, the one thing I hear about this program, when people, you know, have listened to the program, people email me, text me, whatever, say the program is informative. And that's all I'm trying to do, just inform some people about what's going on in this crazy world that we live in. But this man, Oscar Walter, just a couple days ago, Oscar Walter, 68 years old, white man, beat up his wife, fired an air rifle at police, and he did not get killed. Now, this is just now, and black folks, you know, and black folks get killed just for the most. This man fired an air rifle at police. They didn't fire back. So how can you tell me that this is not about race? Of course, it's about race. You know, Dr. King just eloquently said it. Oh, that was a beautiful piece. If you haven't heard it, you can go to YouTube and you can put in the search engine Sander Van Oker and Dr. Martin Luther King. I played a piece earlier when we first opened from an interview that Dr. King did with this NBC News journalist at the famed Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta, Georgia. Where Dr. King, it was a year, 11 months before the great Dr. King lost his life. So, all right. So, I'm gonna a little bit later on in the program. I'm gonna talk about, you see, because I'm gonna talk about the what happens to a kid in a broken home, or the nonsense that being just perpetrated on us, especially on the black community, about kids who don't have fathers. You know. But I'm going to go for it because James Holmes, for example, born in 1987, was convicted on 24 counts of murder. He killed 12 people. This is a man who walked up into the theater in Aurora, Colorado 6 years ago and let loose on the audience. 12 people killed, 70 injured. Now, this is somebody who had a great home life. It was James Holmes. His father was a mathematical scientist, and he had degrees from Stanford, UCLA, and UC Berkeley, and the mother was a registered nurse. I mean, what more can you want? He has one sister, and they lived in a very nice area, Oak Hills in California, and you know, this kid had a great life. This guy had a great life. With the church, with the family, you know, did everything he was supposed to do, and he went. And he had a bachelor's degree in neuroscience. James Holmes had a bachelor's degree. This James Holmes is the man who killed the 12 people in the Aurora, Colorado theater. Killed 12 people. Now, you know, so people are always talking about why black kids are the way they are. because of the broken home and the family, you know, and that's why kids go bad because daddy's not around. Well, this man, daddy was a mathematician and a scientist. And daddy had degrees from the top colleges in California, UCLA, UC Berkeley, Stanford. And the mommy was a registered nurse. And he himself had a bachelor's in neuroscience. 30 years old, this man. Had a bachelor's in neuroscience. And was in graduate school. So he was an intern at the Salk Institute. The Salk Institute is one of the premier biological study facilities in the world. What happened? See, so we can't always say that the absence of the family, we can't always say the absence of the mother or the absence of the father is a precursor for aberrant behavior by kids. We can't always say that because this man had everything. The mother was a nurse, a registered nurse. Father was a mathematician and a scientist. And he himself had a bachelor's degree in neuroscience. You know how hard it is to study neuroscience? It's really, really hard. So we can't always say he got 12 life sentences, no parole, with an additional 3,000 years. So in a year, 5,000 and something, he'll get out. when God only knows what society will be like 3,000 years from now. But anyway, so this is directly in contrast to what people say about kids who come from broken homes, because this wasn't a broken home. This was an idyllic situation here. And he still lost it. So you can't always say that the kid's background is the contributing factor to a kid going south. You can't always say that. It's 35 minutes past the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show.com. Shout out to my boy DJ Tiny, who does this thing on Wednesday nights. Last night it should have been. D Wild Radio. I was been saying DL Wild Radio for so long. I don't know why. But D Wild Radio, DWildMusicRadio.com is where DJ Tiny spins his joints. DWildMusicRadio.com. So we talked a little bit. I talked a little bit about Dr. Martin Luther King earlier. And you know, I don't think, and I'm going to go back and forth to him. And I, you know, and there are some people, I took a little sampling on Twitter and some of the other social media outlets, and there were some people who said that Dr. King would be mad. Dr. King would be mad if he saw what was going on today. But see, Dr. King was so intelligent, so graceful, that I just don't think that Dr. King would be mad if he saw what was going on in America today. If he saw how black folks are antithetical to each other. I don't think Dr. King would be mad. I don't think Dr. King would say that he lost his life for nothing. I just don't think that Dr. King would say that. I think that Dr. King, by nature of who he was, I don't believe that he would say that. And he was a human being now, like anybody else, but he was an exceptional human being. He was a transformative human being. He was a generational human being. There'll never be another Dr. King. Never. There'll never be another Dr. King. It's just, you know, I mean, not in our lifetimes. But there'll never be another Dr. King. Dr. King was one in a million. He was generational. He was transformative. He was, you know, you can't say enough about the man. He was it's just a shame that he lost his life. 39 years old, Dr. King was at the time. Just 39 years old. Young man, had plenty of time, would have had plenty of time if he didn't get gunned down by some heinous white people. Anyway, I'm going to take another break, and I'm going to be breaking out of here in a little while. I got to go. So we'll be right back with more of the program. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, therockellyshow.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this. Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Yeah, yeah.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Don't get it twisted.
I love golf, and I have some of the greatest golf courses in the world. I own Doral. I own some of the great, one of Turnberry in Scotland, where they have the British Open. Some of the greatest British Opens in the history of golf. I mean, some of the great Jack Nicklaus against Tom Watson. They say the duel in the sun, right, folks? The duel in the sun, the greatest tournament ever played was at Turnberry. The duel in the sun, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson. So I have the greatest stuff. But you know what? And I love golf. But if I were in the White House, I don't think I'd ever see Turnberry again. I don't think I'd ever see Doral again. I own Doral in Miami. I don't think I'd ever see many of the places that I have. I don't ever think I'd see anything. I just want to stay in the White House and work my ass off, make great deals, right? Who's going to leave? Who's going to leave?
Just the biggest liar. I just had to play that. It's the biggest liar in the history of mankind. Anyway, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on Blog Talk Radio. .com, the Ron Kelly Show, .com. Shout out to my church folks, my peeps. They call me Deacon Jib for some reason, to nonsensical niff-nods who call me that because I operate a machine called the Jib at Christ Church in Rockaway, New Jersey. Christ Church. We had our Discovery Wednesday last night. It's a transformational Bible study, which took place for the first time last night, because the first two times it was supposed to go down February 7th, snow, March 7th, snow, so hit April 7th, snow, but it missed, and it wasn't as bad, because it snowed on Monday, and the Bible study took place yesterday, and a great time was had by all. You should check it out. Hopefully it can be down more than, hopefully it can be more than once a month. I thought it was fantastic. It was thought provoking and interactive. I think that was the most important thing. It's not one person sitting there reading scripture to you. It was interactive. And Dr. David Ireland, our fearless leader, Pastor Dr. David Ireland, who is the lead pastor of Christ Church, did an excellent job, as always. Inspires me to put forth my effort to contribute to the operation of my church. So if you don't have a church home, you can definitely check Christ Church out. This is the campus at Montclair, the East Campus and Trinity Place in Montclair, New Jersey. And the West Campus is located on Green Pond Road in Rockaway, New Jersey. It's a little bit of a ride, but you don't have the parking issue. Very, very comfortable place. All right, everybody, it's 18 minutes before the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the Ron Kelly Show, .com. I talked a little bit about Facebook earlier and how Facebook is corrupted. Yeah. It's just totally corrupted. And now we're finding out that a company that worked on the Trump campaign got a hold of the information of 87 million people. It was thought to be 50 million at first. Now it's turning out it's 87 million people. So, George Orwell, the great George Orwell, who was a good radio host at the time, War of the Worlds, back in the day before most of us were born, wrote a book called, in 1949, wrote a book called 1984, which was about 35 years ahead before 1984. And the book, I don't know, if I'm not really a book reader either. I'll do the Audible thing. I'll do the audible, no problem, because that way I can listen to the book. But as far as me, like sitting down and reading a book, no. I even when I read the Bible, you know, on occasion when I do read the Bible, I listen to it. I don't necessarily sit down and read it. But anyway, so 1984 was a book by George Orwell wrote in 1949. And here we are in 2017 in the book. If you, I mean, even if you just read Cliff Notes, you'll see that most of what he talked about is going on today. Now, in the story, there's a character called Winston Smith. And now, in his time, there was a ban on individuality. And, you know, and you can look around today and you think like there's a ban on individuality. Because everybody's doing the same things. Everybody's saying the same things. You know, when the cartoon character thing came out, everybody wanted to make themselves a cartoon character. You know, when that thing came out where you can put ears and noses on your face, everybody wanted to do that. You know, so everybody just follows everybody else. And so it seems like there's a ban on individuality right now. And in the time of the book, having a diary was punishable by death. You couldn't even have a diary. And the Big Brother was everywhere. And they used the term Big Brother in the book. So that's where that name came from. And even right now, you look and everything you do, you know, if you're traveling, even if you're not on your phone and you're traveling, your phone still hits towers as you travel. So let's say you're driving down south. You don't use your phone the whole time. Every time you go near a tower, your phone hits off that tower. So even if you're not on the phone, people still know where you're going. Yeah. Yeah, with EasyPass and so many other things, you know, it's like there's cameras everywhere. So even like right now, 1984 is on and popping because even right now, you can't go anywhere without being seen or heard or anything like that, even right now. They were looking on the cameras, cameras on people's houses, cameras in stores. When you go to the ATM, there's a camera taking pictures of you. So everywhere you go, there's a camera. So it's so, you know, it's so eye-opening how this man wrote this book 69 years ago. And it's all coming into play, not just in 80, it really didn't come to play in 84, but it really is now. Big Brother is everywhere watching you. You swipe that card when you go to the movies, you know, wherever you go, whatever you do, you happen to go to Walmart, they're filming you. If you go to Kmart or wherever the place they're filming you, everywhere you go, they're filming you. And your phone. When you buy something, when you go online and buy something, somebody knows what you bought. You ever go buy something online and then get 50 emails of what you bought or different variations of what you bought? That's because somebody's always watching. I do my radio show, people others are listening. So it's, you know, so you're not, there's no hiding nothing. So you can tell people they can't use your image and all of that all you want. They not, you know, your image is already gone. If you choose to log on to social media, your image or whatever it is, your business, when you swipe your card, a credit card at the Five and Dime or wherever it is you are, people are going to know. Anyway, it's about 13 minutes before the hour. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com, the ronkellyshow.com. Otherwise known as Deacon Jib, from these clowns who I choose to associate with, who like to call me that because the equipment that I operate is that's short. I don't even know what it's called, but they choose to call me that. So that's all right, fellas. You know, I got names for all of you. I just can't say them over the air. All right, so. And so we can't, you know, so I talked a little bit about James Holmes, the Colorado shooter, who had a great life, who had a bachelor's degree in neuroscience. Mother was a registered nurse. Father was a scientist. Lived in a great part. I mean, had money the whole nine. And had one sister. So, you know, so you can't say that just because a kid comes from a bad background, that means that just because a kid comes from a bad background doesn't mean that they're going to turn out bad. You can't always contribute the absence of a parent to this. There was a girl, I'm trying to look it up now. There was a girl who rode the subway. Back and forth. Rode the subway. And the girl was riding back and forth on the subway and graduated from high school. Was a valedictorian, as a matter of fact. Rode the subway and alone. And graduated from high school, was valedictorian. So it was a homeless girl, didn't have a place to live. And graduated, was a valedictorian. And all she did was, after she got out of school, was ride back and forth on the subway. So you can't say that just because a kid had a bad situation means that they're going to do bad. You know, and kids, and sometimes mama and daddy be going at it, or, you know, all kinds of things be going on when the kid witnesses, you know, when the family, when the mother and father may not be down with each other, and they're, you know, going back and forth, going at it, and kids are witnessing this. But it still doesn't mean that the child is going to do bad. It doesn't mean that. You just don't know. But like I said earlier, you're never going to see anybody say my kid failed English or whatever on Facebook. Only thing you're going to see on Facebook is the wonderful. Only thing you're going to see on Facebook is, oh, my kid is just so spectacular. You're not going to see anybody say anything bad about themselves or their kids. Well, occasionally you do see somebody say something, you know, get honest about whatever. But as far as kids go, no. No, I don't see it. So anyway, so it's the 50th anniversary, yesterday was, of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was the greatest activist. I put him ahead of Gandhi. I would put him ahead of anybody. Because he had the toughest job. Because Dr. King was right. Dr. King was right that people who came here weren't slaves. They weren't slaves first. See, black folks were slaves first. See, that's the piece. That's what was so brilliant about Dr. King, that he's so thoughtful and brilliant. And he spelled it out in plain English that people who came here from overseas weren't slaves first. And like he said, when the Emancipation Proclamation took place in 1863, they didn't give black folks anything. They didn't give them, you know, they never got, you know, as you said, he said they never got 40 acres and a mule, or like, the, you know, they never got anything. He said freedom and famine at the same time. This is just brilliant, because he's 100% right. Freedom and famine at the same time. 100% right. Shout out to Myra Lewis. Haven't seen her in a long time. So Dr. King was just, you know, you can't say enough about the man. And he gave his life. He gave his life for the advancement of black folk. And to see Chicago, for example, what's going on in Chicago. I didn't put this in my show prep. Chicago, what happened over there? seven people getting killed in one area. I have to pull it up because I didn't put that in my show prep, but I wanted to touch on it. That's where Obama lives, or is from, or lives. They don't live on the south side. So you have there were seven people killed in one section of Chicago. Seven people. And it's always weekends. It's seven people killed in one neighborhood in 12 hours in Chicago. A pregnant woman shot in the head. Four men killed in a restaurant. One of the kids, his mother lived there, worked there. The mother worked there at the hospital. One of the kids, his mother worked at the restaurant. All four of them shot dead. Gang retaliation. A pregnant woman, 26 years old, killed, shot in the head. A couple riding in their car, set upon by these heinous criminals who killed both of them. And then one other person who was shot on the street. Somebody just ran up on him and just cut loose on him. So seven people in 12 hours in one neighborhood. It's just unheard of. But you still can't say that Dr. King's work didn't do anything. You can't say that Dr. King died in vain. You still can't say that. Because there's some things have changed, maybe incrementally, but some things have changed or were changed by the great, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. All right, it's about 4 minutes left to the program, everybody. You can hit me up on Facebook. It's Ron Kelly Show. On Twitter, it's R. Kelly Radio Show. And on Instagram, it's Real R. Kelly 1. And we're about to close out the show. So join me again next Thursday. And this light is like killing me. Next Thursday at 7 p.m. for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. We do our thing here. And you can reach out to me, the Ron Kelly Show at Gmail. The Ron Kelly Show at Gmail. Thank you to the people who have reached out to me so far. Some good, some not so good. But keep reaching out. And also for folks in Patterson, you will hear Casey Melvin. You will hear Casey Melvin, who's running for council at large in the city of Patterson. Casey Melvin will be a guest on Ron Kelly Show, along with Andrea Kent. They're not at the same time. I mean, Andrea Kenyon Wheeler, or Wheeler Kenyon. I just butchered the lady's name. She's running for office, running for mayor in the city of Patterson. I don't think she had the proper signatures, or had enough signatures. So she wasn't allowed to go on the ballot. And furthermore, she was kept away from last night, from the debate. She's been kept away from that as well. She has not been able to go. So, we'll give her a voice here. Andrea Wheeler Kenyon, we'll give her a voice here. She can, we'll let her come on and be a guest on the Ron Kelly Show. We'll hook that up. I'll talk to her and we'll hook that up. Casey Melvin, we used to cut my hair back in the day, who was running for council at large. We'll talk to him as well. All right, time to go. Shout out to my people over at Burkhead Promotions. Go to burkheadpromotions.com for all your promotion needs. Friend of the show. And mention the Ron Kelly Show, and you can get 10% off your total order. All right, so do that. Go to breakheadpromotions.com for all your promotional needs. All right, we're going to break out of here, everybody. So thanks so much for joining me once again. And we'll see you back here next Thursday afternoon for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, it's nice to be important. Remember that it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And that we may not have it all together, but together one day. One day, I don't know when, but one day we'll certainly have it all. So don't forget, Casey Melvin will be on the show, and Andrea Wheeler Kinnian will be on the show as well. All right, everybody, take care. I'm out. And good night.